nearly headed back to school for those of us with kiddos, which typically means that the kiddos are bummed and the parents have some sense of relief. And Old Bill's is around the corner, which is a pretty fantastic event in the life of our community. I love it. I'm grateful for the support that you give us through Old Bill's, and I think it's nice to see so many people who are so committed to our community out walking and running and repping their helping organizations. We've got these scriptures to deal with, and I suspect we might have a little stewardship skit in the works as well. This particular section of the gospel that we have this morning includes another one of my favorite lines. I don't think it's something many of us pay very close attention to, and I suppose it might be considered a throwaway line if you're not listening really carefully to the gospel, but it's a great movement in the story, particularly the story of becoming a disciple of Jesus. And I find it especially comforting as someone who has from time to time struggled to fully understand and fully embrace and fully incorporate the teachings of Jesus in my own life. And I believe I have a distinct advantage of that over and against most of you. I am not a volunteer disciple. I'm getting paid to do it. To be clear, the disciples weren't volunteers either. They were likely being supported by Jesus' ministry, and perhaps, as some scholars argue, they may have returned to their professions from time to time. We think, well, they dropped their nets and followed him, right? And some of them did. And we think that maybe they just never ate or got new sandals and they were probably cold all of the time. That is not true. They certainly weren't wealthy people, but from the way the story reads, they had enough. They always had enough. And I would argue that enough is all we really need, though we tend to disagree about what enough is, too. Back to this compelling line from the gospel, the one that I find comforting. It comes at verse 66, which reads, "Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him." I think there's a bit of piety ascribed to this translation that we have. I mean to say, I believe our piety, our zeal for Jesus and his teachings, has influenced the way that this verse gets translated. We hear, "and no longer went about with him." We hear that as if these disciples of Jesus were no longer a part of the traveling squad, but they were likely at home supporting the movement from afar. But when I look at the translation, it really looks more as though they were abandoning the cause. They are no longer following him, and they are no longer following him. This isn't the only time something like this happens within the four Gospels. It happens in other places too, and it happens to large groups like this one in today's Gospel, and it happens to individuals in the story as well. Those who receive the good news that Jesus brings, and yet that good news is so counter to the culture, or so counter to the way their lives are ordered, that they simply just walk away. And they no longer are able to follow him. Now, I suppose any number of you may be wondering why I might find a verse like this and the relating verses comforting. And yet, I do. I find it comforting because I believe it affirms my own real experience of growing into discipleship. It affirms my own experience of trying to follow what I call the God love life. While I found deep, rich, nearly unimaginable blessing as I've sought to attach my life to the teachings of Jesus. I can also tell you with sincerity and without an ounce of shame that it's hard. I can tell you that I have struggled. That at times, I believe that God just seemed to be demanding too much from me, more than I was willing or even able to give. I'm wondering if any of you have felt the same. I'm sure that some of you have. That if you've made a real attempt, a serious attempt at aligning your life with the teachings of Jesus, that you've struggled. The story narrates that that's a part of it, becoming a follower of Jesus, that struggle is a part of discipleship. We, the leadership of this place, this church, is asking you to do something today that you might find challenging, to commit a portion of your financial resource to the work of this place. Oftentimes, I believe we equate money with security. We have the sense, many times the false sense, but not always false. We have the sense that our financial resource is what provides security to our lives. And so when someone like me stands up before you and asks you to give it away, a response can become challenging, can be hard, can be a struggle. Let me assure you, this will not be the only hard thing this church asks you to do if you make this faith community your home. Coasting and drifting aren't a part of the life of the faithful disciple. Our hope is to continue to widen the embrace of the love that we spread here in Jackson and well beyond this place. You've been dreaming big dreams about that this summer, and those big dreams, in order to become a reality, will take hard work and service and sacrifice and prayer and commitment and recommitment. But you, St. John's, you are a tough and gritty bunch. And you have deep roots in this Jackson community, and that will keep us well watered as we seek future missional growth in this community. I'll tell you a little story. A couple of months ago, I came home from church on a Sunday morning. It happened to be Father's Day. My daughter Jade was scurrying around the house, and not long after I arrived home, Jade informed me that a part of my Father's Day gift was a scavenger hunt that she had created for me around the house. There's little baby Russell. He's going to be doing that sometime. Jade told me that each question would require me to come up with a word, and each clue was something that she and I or our whole family had done together. There were 36 clues, and I was to put the 36. And I was to put the first letter of the missing word down on a piece of paper. It was a relatively complex game that she had created. Before I got rolling on the scavenger hunt, she let me know that at the end of the scavenger hunt, those first letters would combine to show something that she had learned from me. Pretty amazing. So we started. We went up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down the stairs in our house. She had to help me with many of the words and remind her old man of just what she was pointing me toward. She never put one clue in one bedroom and then the next in the room right next to it. She put one clue in the garage and then back upstairs in the bedroom and then back downstairs next to the TV and then back upstairs in her bedroom. I burned some calories that day. After about a half hour, we sat down with the Gatorade and began to put the puzzle together. And when I was finished, there were two pieces of wisdom that I have sought to pass on to Jade, but was unaware of whether it landed or not. Two sentences on the piece of this scratch paper, and the first read, "Let your freak flag fly." You see, I believe each of us is made in the image of God, and that each of us is drawn from a unique portion of that image, no two alike. I believe that at the heart of becoming a disciple of Jesus, we are meant to be ourselves, our own unique selves, the one God made us to be, that we are called to be utterly unique and unbothered by what the world or the culture or this group or that group might expect us to be. I believe authenticity is a real part of becoming a follower of God. And I've sought to teach that to my daughter and to others as well. The second sentence on that piece of scratch paper is really the one that I believe that applies to us here this morning, this week, and truthfully next week, and the week after that, and the week after that, and the week after that. The second sentence read, "We can do hard things." It's a piece of wisdom that has been important to me for a very long time. I've borrowed this particular way of saying it from Glennon Doyle and from Brené Brown. The sentence is simple, it's declarative, and it's true. We can do hard things. We have done hard things. We will do hard things. We can do hard things. I am glad Jade is listening. I hope you are too. We can do hard things. If I were to add something to my daughter's scavenger hunt, another piece of wisdom, and I should say this is one of the nicest things that anyone has ever done for me. I mean, wow, Jade, that was just amazing. And if I were to add something to that day, one more piece of wisdom that I would pass on to my daughter and to you, to y'all, to me too, to all of us, I would add, you are loved beyond measure. That you are a child, chosen and marked by God's love, the delight of God's life. That you are loved beyond measure. We are dreaming big dreams in this church. And we will be ourselves, our own unique selves, authentic, letting our freak flags fly if necessary. and we can do hard things. We have, we will, we can. And in and through and around all of it, we are loved beyond measure. Open your hearts, roll up your sleeves, and join hands. The Spirit is calling. Amen.